Hi there, my name is Susie Schuster.
And I'm Rich Eisen.
We're teaming up once again in the studio with our new podcast, Not Just Sports, with Susie Schuster and Rich Eisen.
So we're sportscasters and we're parents, so we're just going to be hanging out, talking sports and other stuff.
And I will try to educate you on all things in the NFL, because
Thank you, of course,
behind every great man is a greater woman.
That's correct.
There you go.
Join us every Wednesday exclusively on Podcast One Sports.
Subscribe today if you know it's good for you on Apple Podcasts or at PodcastOne.com or download it on the new Podcast One app.
Racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjoy, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey guys, welcome to Shift and Steer. It's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea here. I'm in the Corolla studio this week, and we've got Brad Fanshaw on the line. Hey, Brad.
Hey, I'm right here, man. How you doing?
We're doing good. So we're going to catch up with him. He's taking a little bit of a road trip. Actually, came off a road trip and then went on another road trip. So we'll find out what's going on with him. And then our buddy Tyson Sullivan. He's been on the show before. It's been a little while. He was with us at Bear Jackson, I think, a couple years ago. And whatever. How you doing?
Just living. I'm good, man.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good. So Tyson's one of my best buds. He's a phenomenal actor. He's got tons of stuff going on. This guy was on Banshee on Cinemax. He was on Quarry on Cinemax. Quarry I loved. Too bad Cinemax ruined that
deal. Didn't love it so much, I guess.
I guess they didn't love it as much as I did. You know? Like, you loved it. I loved it. Your boy. Also, you got to work on a show with, like, one of your good buddies, Logan, who was the star on that show, who's great.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody says he looks like Tom Hardy.
He looks just like he looks very similar to Tom Hardy.
Like, but if you take away, like, the $17 million per picture Tom Hardy gets, you have Logan.
Logan's a great guy. That is the silver lining that came out of Quarry. We did a lot of great work. We were proud of it. And then Logan's one of my best buddies.
Yeah, you get to go to work with your buddy and talk about the show and have some good times with it. But one of the other things.
Do we need to get, like, fans to bring Quarry back, Tyson?
one of those viral
things?
Yeah.
Here's the crazy part, like, without getting too much into it, but it's not the show. It wasn't the show or the success of the show. It was all politics behind the scene. It was such a bullshit thing that happened behind the scenes. It's like, and it's very typical of Hollywood, that was a perfectly good show that didn't survive, not because people weren't watching it.
Yeah,
it's like,
I mean,
people liked it. It was going to win awards. It was going to crush it.
It was, look, the work was great. The writing, we had two incredible writers on that, you know, a whole staff of writers. But, you know, it had nothing to do with the show, the fans, you know, the whatever. It's just sometimes, you know, in business, stuff just doesn't work out for complete reasons outside of anyone's control.
It's called Hollywood.
Right,
yeah, and
right.
Hey, I got this guy that's just not too far from where you're at right there in Burbank. His name's Tim Allen. He'd probably love to converse with you about how politics and behind-the-scenes things all kind of happen.
Sure, I saw that.
Yeah, except he's worth $300 million, and he's not trying to build a career from scratch, and, you know, he's got a huge car collection.
Tyson.
And yeah.
Ah,
and
gotcha.
Between you and me, like, I did an episode of Car Collectors. I was doing this YouTube show for GQ magazine called Car Collectors, and we went to Goldberg's car collection, Corolla's car collection, a couple of other actors, Mike Epps.
Cool.
I went to Tim Allen's car collection. Tim Allen was great to me, and he has a great car collection, but just overall, he's like, he wasn't like an overwhelmingly nice guy.
Yeah.
And he was like, he was kind of a douche to the producer or the girl, and, you know, like, his jokes were kind of mean and
really,
yeah. I was just like, yeah. I mean,
that's,
I get it. That's your, it's your thing.
Yeah,
you know. But
I may have caught him on an off day.
No.
No.
Everybody said that. Like,
Matt.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's kind of his thing. But
all fairness, Matt. When I saw him last time, he said, you know, I did that thing with Matt DeAndrea. He's kind of a douche. He was kind of, you know, full of himself. Was like, hey, man, I'm running the show here. You know, I mean, it goes both ways, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Like when I said, hey, Tim, my name is Matt. I'm a big fan. He's like, I'm not.
Exactly.
That's going to be a hard pass, Matt. That's a hard
pass.
But
he had some cool cars, though. So, Brad, we got to catch up with you for a minute or two. Tyson's going to tell us what's new in the world.
Cool.
Go ahead and prep, Ty. So, wait, you just got back on a road trip, and we've prefaced this before. At the SEMA show coming up, there's a really great event that nobody can see or go to, and it's the SEMA banquet. And the SEMA banquet is just for SEMA members. It's not broadcast, which is unfortunate, and it doesn't get reproduced, but they always do something great. They bring in a great comedian or a great band or whatever, and the entertainment this year is a super band. And Brad, you know, it's Brad's friends. Brad's been working with SEMA for months and months on this deal with our buddy Bruce Meyer. And remind us again, what's the deal? Who's the band? Who's in it?
Well, let me give you a little bit of the backstory, because it goes back to our co-host and buddy, you know, Pete Chaporis, which years back, 10 years ago, at the 50th anniversary of the Deuce, Pete, Bruce Meyer, and myself, we helped put these guys together because they're rock and roll legends that are also real car guys. So Pete and I were talking, and we thought, gosh, we need to get these guys back together. Let's do it at SEMA. Last year, it just couldn't happen. All of their schedules and, you know, guys who are on tour, it's really hard. And although they wanted to do it, they could not make it happen. Even despite SEMA was ready to lay down to get, you know, a private jet to pick them up and all this stuff. So the word was, well, we'll do it next year. And so we started working on it. Unfortunately, Pete is not around anymore to see it happen, so we're kind of doing it in Pete Chaporis' honor. And all the guys wanted to do it. So we've got Michael Anthony, that you know from Van Halen, The Circle, and Chickenfoot. Then we've got Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top. We have Jeff Beck, which is from too many famous bands to even, you know, lay down. And then we have Jimmy Vaughn, and his band is the backup band. And so these guys are going to come play the banquet at SEMA, and it's going to be so cool, because when you get those type of legends together in one place to play music, and they're car guys who are just excited as hell about being at the SEMA show, it's going to be awesome. And they're all really like moving their schedules around and everything just so they can come to SEMA and play this gig. So what happened, Matt, was, you know, we've got to get these guys. They're all, Jeff Beck's over in England, and Jimmy Vaughn's out on the road, and ZZ Top's on the road. Michael was out on the road with Sammy. And it just so happens that in St. Louis, Missouri, last weekend, there was a radio station called KSHE95, and they were having their 50th anniversary. So they had brought in ZZ Top, Sammy and Michael's band, The Circle. I'm trying to remember who else was there. Aaron Hagar's brother was playing. And also, there was another band, and it's slipping my mind. And anyways, they were all playing, so it was like a perfect opportunity for me to fly in, sit down with Michael and Billy Gibbons, and help them build the set list for the show. And so that's what we did, is we sat down. It was such a cool, rock star thing, because I got to live vicariously through them, go backstage, go into Billy's dressing room, sit down with the guys, and talk through what the audience was going to be like, what songs would really do a real adequate mix for each of the different band guys that are coming together, and also something that people could still tap their feet to. So it's a really good mix of songs. Can't tell you what they are yet, because that's got to be a surprise, but
I was going to ask, can you give us any insight into the set list? Because naturally, we're like, you have a great band, and they should play sort of each other's songs or
dude,
something.
We have some of the best Lawrence Welk hits that you have ever heard.
Good. So, I don't know who that is.
There's going to be some ZZ Top. There's going to be some some incredible covers. I'll tell you one that blew me away, because you've heard the old hit, which is 16 Tons, What Do You Get? Another Day Older and Deeper in Debt. And you don't think of that as a rock song at all. Jeff Beck and Billy Gibbons have played that before at a benefit in London. And Billy goes, "Hey, man, let me put it on for you guys to listen to. It is so good." And, you know, you can actually, if somebody wants to Google it, you can find it online. It is such a cool version. And that's what some of this stuff's going to be, is kind of their covers of these really off the wall, mixed in with some ZZ Top and some Vaughn and a little bit of Fabulous Thunderbirds. And it's going to be really cool. It's going to be a great show.
That's awesome. So what you're saying is basically you don't have to worry about having that feeling of when you go to a concert and they're like, "Guys, we just wrote this.
Yeah.
This is off the new album."
Exactly,
everyone's like, "Oh,
yeah.
Let me go grab a beer. Let me go grab a smoke."
So is it safe to assume that Billy's going to be the lead singer of this little super group, this one time only thing, or how's that going to work?
Yeah, Billy is the lead singer, but you can expect for Jeff Beck to sing one of the songs at least, and Michael's going to jump in. So it's going to be great. You're going to get a great variety, and I'll tell you, I think people are really excited about it, because I got a call from Larry Callahan, who's a good friend of mine, who owns ProTouring.com, which is one of the leading pro touring muscle car forum sites. And he kind of said to me, he goes, "Hey, thanks a lot, Brad." And I go, "What's that?" And he goes, "My banquet falls on the same night," and he's been doing it for 16 years.
Yeah.
And he said, "It's the first year that his sales are down, you know, that people were not registering for it." And he said, "So I started reaching out to people and they're going, 'Larry, haven't you heard the band that's playing the SEMA banquet?'"
So, all right. So
I'm
did you get us a shift and steer table?
What's that?
Did you get us a shift and steer table at the banquet?
I have us a great table that for all of us from Shift and Steer and all of us from Man Seeks Adventure. So
is there
Dave
a soundboard on the table? Is it at the back of the room with a soundboard on the table? Like, is it standing room only?
No.
It's also the craft service table.
You know when you walk over from the convention center,
yeah,
there's those smaller rooms off to the side?
Yeah.
We're going to be at one of those with a monitor, but it'll feel like you're right up front.
Yeah, you can hear it through the walls, because those walls are portable. They're removable, you know? So now you hit the road last night from Orange County to Phoenix. You're going to go see your mom. You got your mom's birthday. She's awesome, by the way. She comes out sometimes during Barrett Jackson at night, hits the bars with us.
She likes to come out and drink with us.
She's going
to be 86. She's going to be 86 this year, and she still comes out to Barrett Jackson and parties with us and watches the auction and sees what things go for. And, you know, it was so I'm coming over last night, and I'm like, yeah, just, you know, leave work, go home, pack, jump in the car and tool on over here. And that didn't work out. We got literally an hour and a half outside of Phoenix, and the I-10 was closed. Not just down to a lane, it was completely closed. I guess they had road construction, and three semis decided to play demolition derby, and I guess they blew up. They were all over the road, mangled, and they had to airlift some of the guys out of there. And so hopefully they're going to be okay, but I know the trucks aren't, and the guy at the truck stop said he had just driven into work right after it happened, and he said there were FedEx packages like as far as you could see across the desert.
Wow.
He said they were just everywhere. So,
wow, that sucks.
Yeah.
On my way to SEMA last year, just before I got into Vegas, I could see Vegas, and I'm still driving, and on the side of the road is a semi-truck just engulfed in flames. And I got there early enough that the roads weren't stopped yet. I was passing by it.
I remember this, yeah.
And I put up like some social media like videos and pictures of this truck, and I saw the guy, the truck driver. He was standing far away, but he was just watching his truck just burn to a crisp. And this thing was like, it was on the right side of the road. It was off the road, and I was far left lane trying to get away from the fire. And I was in a truck towing my car, windows up, air on, and the whole thing. And as I drove by it, I could feel the heat inside. Like, that thing was burning, man. Yeah. And I'm telling you, I just passed it, and by the time I passed it, everybody showed up, and they shut down that road, and the SEMA traffic was just backed up for hours and hours.
Now, what's the move there? Do you stop and try and you know what I mean? Because you don't want to become a part of the problem,
So what we did is we slowed down to see what was in there, and we saw the guy out in the distance.
He was fine.
Like, his door was open. There was flames. Like, his engine caught on fire, and it was starting to go up to the cab and to the trailer of the truck, and you could just see these crazy flames. But he was off to the distance. You could see he was already making calls.
Yeah.
There was a couple people stopped far ahead.
Matt did roll down his window and blow a little bit.
I did, yeah. You know, also, I had to pee. I was like, this is going to work. You know, but it was a little toasty out there. So I don't know what caused it, but it's...
That's crazy.
I was expecting some kind of like movie thing where, you know, it explodes.
You got a picture of it too, right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I got a picture of it. I thought it was going to explode. So I wanted to wait. First, I was like, oh, nobody's there. Maybe it'll blow up and that'll be cool. But no. But so, by the way, blowing shit up, like, that's... You've done that more than one occasion on set, blowing stuff up, you know? And by the way, not everything goes well when you're filming, right? Not everything goes the way it's supposed to. Like, you're like, hey, man, we've got millions of dollars of budget, got all the safety guys, walkie-talkies, people with headphones on, everybody's a teamster, everybody's got their job to do. But that's not the way it goes down, right?
No, not all. I mean, well, especially right as television and movies have started to move – they've gotten great, more cinematic and more cinematic, especially in the, you know, TV and now the Netflix and internet age and streaming and all that. They've tried to push the envelope on what they can do, which is amazing. As an actor, you want that. You want, you know, those crazy scenes and explosions and crazy sets. And, you know, we were on Quarry and, you know, there's this scene where we destroy this village in Vietnam. So it's set in 72 and we're some soldiers and it was a oneer. And we practically did it. If you see the it's in the season finale, I guess series finale of Quarry.
It was intentionally to be the season finale, not the series finale, but that's the way it panned out.
Yeah, exactly. Our amazing showrunner, Greg, he set up this, you know, had this vision for this great shot. And, you know, we executed incredibly right. But, you know, you're dealing with, probably 100 extras running around. You're dealing with 20 stunt guys that all have rifles that are taking falls and hits, and they've got bullet hits on them. You've got explosions and huts on fire and people on fire. And
But you're setting this up, and this is a big action scene set, period correct, in Vietnam. And the way it was going down was the actors were spread all over this place. There was cameramen and people spread all over this place, but the whole thing was sort of set to, like, shoot as one flowing.
So there was you would think there'd be multiple cameras in that, because each setup, each time they had to set up the pyro and the guns and everything, it was hundreds of thousands. It was expensive. But it's just one camera.
One camera shot. So what happens is, if you picture this, is the camera is moving around an entire village, and you see one guy get shot, another guy run, another guy stab, another guy fight. But the one camera guy is shooting the whole thing on foot, basically like freehand.
Crazy.
And it's one long, epic shot. Like, I don't know how it ended up, like, how long it ended up being, but it was like sort of one big, long, uncut and edited shot.
Exactly. It was 11 minutes.
That's...
Was, like, in a first-person perspective, like, one of the characters was supposed to be the camera running?
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't sort of like video game style, because you saw the actors in the show.
Yeah.
But it was never just focus on the one guy. Like, you see Tyson appear, and then you see him, like, later, a little bit later, because he ran to another location because they're in war. So it was it was shot crazy. So I'm sure it was rehearsed a couple
times.
So
we rehearsed. So we rehearsed it, I think, 2 days before. We had 2 days because we had a whole day just to get that 11 minutes on camera.
That's right.
And so we rehearsed for it, felt good about it. And, you know, we run it through it the whole day. Each time something random would happen, like an explosion wouldn't go off or something would happen, so we'd have to stop and reset. And this take where I ended up getting hurt was the last take that we had. It was like we were either going to get it in a one shot or we weren't going to be able to get it. We were just going to have to edit it together, which ends up, you know, sometimes happening too. And so we get through the whole thing. We're about a minute and a half left, and there's this part where I'm supposed to shoot, reload, and then move forward, and this explosion happens behind me. So I shoot. I reload, and then I feel like my leg gets blown off. And I look down, and my pants are blown open. I've got a little burn on me, but I know I'm going to survive for the next minute and a half. So I'm like, I'm not going to be the one that calls cut on this. I don't care. I don't care what's if I'm burned or hurt. So I turn over. I lay down. I act like I'm shooting my gun. I didn't have much dialogue for the last minute. And we get to the end of it, and I'm like, guys, I need some help. And I ended up getting a nice little burn on my leg. Everything's fine now, and I'm good from it. But
how like big of a pussy would you have been if you would have been like, sorry, I'm hurt. Can we reset? Can 300 people and $400,000 please reset?
Hey, guys, I know I just cost you $500,000 because I said reset, but I don't care. Yeah. No.
So when you see it, when you see the show, and it's very quick toward the end, and you see the explosion, he gets up and he runs, you see the explosion, you see this pain in his face. That's some Emmy-winning pain, but also real pain. This is great, because you were in,
that is amazing, Tyson. You were just in the moment, and you soldiered on, you know?
Right. I mean, yeah. They're like, he really, here's a small scene, but man, he really brought it.
He
brought that A game. It was all in the face. It was all in the emotion. It was like his leg really blew up in that scene, and it was just so painful. And then, you guys, where were you filming it?
So we shot in New Orleans.
And
the best part about that is that I end up getting hurt. I go to the hospital. And at the hospital, I've been sober for 7.5 years. And so I'm like, hey, I get that I have a burn, but guys, I can't take any pain medicine. Yeah. And the guy's like, ooh, are you sure? At that point, I knew I was kind of in trouble with the pain.
You're like, it's better if you take it and the 9 years of weaning off of it.
No way.
They're a little bit like, you're like, I can't take it because I'm a badass.
Yeah, and, no. So they got me all fixed up, and the next day, you know, that was probably, I finished at the hospital 10 at night, and I got to go to work the next morning because, you know, there's scenes to shoot, people are showing up, and, you know, there's hundreds of people on set. I got to go to work. So I get up, go to work, and I'm hurting, just pounding.
But, dude, it's Hollywood. You don't get up and go. You're just replaced.
They'll find somebody else. I mean, that's the reality of it. They'll find somebody else, or they'll write you out and write somebody, you know. So you go to work. And so I get up, I go to work, and it's like 10 in the morning. Show up to set, and they're like, hey, so Tice, you know, sorry, you know, hope you're doing great. You know, the medic's bandaging me up. Our first shot of the day is that classic Vietnam shot where the whole platoon's wading through the swamp.
with the M16s above your heads and you're...
Exactly. No bullshit. I show up and I'm like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah, you're like, that's fine. I'm okay.
So a little movie magic. We ended up finding a pair of waders, getting some wardrobe that was bigger than my standard wardrobe, putting it over the waders. And you can't tell. I watched that scene and you can't even tell that I'm...
Did you tell the director you were doing that? You were just like, hey, wardrobe. Throw me a bone here.
Yeah. No. I mean, everybody was so great about, you know, accommodating, whatever.
You were just like, director shows up. It's like, yeah, Tyson, you put on some weight.
Man, what's going on?
Yeah.
Dude?
Yeah.
Did you eat ribs? Were you over at the mirror, Tyson, looking, just making sure it didn't look like you had diapers on or something like that? Yeah. You know?
Oh, but best part is the night he blew up his leg, not on purpose, you know, somebody else blew it up for you, is, you know, you're just sitting in the hotel room. We're always sitting around bored, and we're texting back and forth and stuff like that. And he's sending me pictures of his leg. He's like, check that out. He's like, look at that bandage. Look at that blood coming through.
It's nasty.
That's some carnage. It's like a beat piece of meat.
It did. It looked like a... Ugh.
I mean, dude, if it hadn't happened, you wouldn't have a story.
That's right.
You got a story now.
That's right. Well, look, I you know, whenever I met my wife, I hadn't done a whole lot as an actor, but I'd have this thing that I said. And I was like, you know, as an actor, you got days off. You don't have to go into a job. But when you work, you got to work. That's what I'd always say. And I didn't know how badly that would burn. Not literally burn me later. But so I had that one, that burn story. And then I did a Lifetime movie a couple years ago.
Yeah, you did.
And,
the Man-Hater Channel.
Exactly. So I did that. And, you know, we have a nice lunch. And I go back to the trailer. And everything feels great. And then about, you know, a few minutes later, my stomach starts grumbling. And I had the worst food poisoning I've ever had in my life. And you talk about pressure. When you're standing behind a trailer door and you're waiting for somebody to knock on the door and be like, hey, we're ready for you to stand in front of 50 people and perform whenever you can barely get out of the restroom, you're throwing up so much. It makes it
pretty
tough.
Got killed by a chick.
I did, yes.
In that show.
Yeah.
By our friend, Brittany.
Yeah, I did. Brittany Curran.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Small World is... I'm friends with this girl, Brittany Curran, from long ago when she did a film when she was like 15 with a friend of mine that directed it. And flash forward 10 years later, you're doing a Lifetime movie with her.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's
kind of makes you want to go, Brittany, how come you're doing Lifetime movies 10 years into your career? But she's doing big shows now.
She is. Vancouver. She's on that sci-fi show.
Yeah.
I don't know. Magician.
Something like that. Yeah. But she's doing great. Yeah. So, you know, this is still a car show, so we got to talk about car stuff.
What? And we're not going to talk about Lifetime movies all day?
Let's do it.
Well, because of, you know, the cars that are on those films, possibly. But there was some interesting news that came up recently because, first of all, somebody called me a couple of weeks ago and said, hey, man, we're getting the very first Lamborghini Huracan Performante into the U.S., and we're going to get it in L.A. It just set the fastest time around the Nürburgring for a production car. They said, we're going to have it in like 2 weeks. Do you want to be the first one to drive it? I said,
no.
That sounds fantastic. Thank you very much for thinking of me, and fuck yeah. So let's do it. And a guy emailed me last week. He's like, it's in port. It's going through its paperwork. Should be here soon. Meanwhile, as I'm waiting for this car, Porsche 911 GT2 RS just obliterated the Nürburgring record set not just
exactly
6 months ago by the Lamborghini Huracan. So now I don't know what to talk about. I'm going to get the fastest Lamborghini around the Nürburgring, but no longer the fastest car around the Nürburgring. And which is crazy is because these cars today are going so fast that I'm telling you, like 5 years ago, whatever the fastest supercar around the ring was, now probably a Porsche Cayenne Turbo S does it around the ring faster than that supercar did, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's just the world we're living in. This is of the world of super sedans and super SUVs. And,
yeah.
And I mean the Mini Cooper, like, GTP car, GP street car, whatever that they make, the gray one with the red mirrors, the new crazy, they're like, this set the, you know, the Nürburgring record for four cylinders or something. It was like it's crazy how we thought we were getting beat down so much by CAFE standards and emissions and whatnot, but we're getting some pretty fast cars.
Yeah, no, we are. I you know, and everything's pretty quick. You know,
everything
what I mean?
Is
like,
pretty quick.
Not you're talking about supercars and crit, but like even like Toyota Celica S, or you know what I mean? Like even just base model cars that people, if they want something that's quick and is going to give them that, you know, heartbeat rush, it's out there.
There's also, so like the Tesla, right? The Tesla is, I love Elon Musk. I love, he's such a hype man. You know, he, and I love that he's a hype man, but I'm always baffled how like Wall Street doesn't give a shit. Cause he's like Tesla Model 3, $35,000. I'm going to be producing 1,500 of these things in the first month, and then I'm going to do like 10,000 a month. Well,
that didn't work.
September came and went, and I think he made like 240 cars. Like, was so far off the estimate of how many cars he was going to make. And Wall Street's like, whatever, we'll buy your stock. Like, we love what you're selling.
They reward him by raising the stock price. And now they announced that, the Model 3 is not going to have courtesy charging at our charge stations. You'll have to pay for it when you plug in. So all these people that pre-ordered and financed his company are going like, oh, wait a minute, what? What? So I'm getting less and I'm paying the same. And I don't get my car till when? So
yeah. It's a crazy thing. And I say, okay, one, kudos to Elon Musk and Tesla. I like what you guys are doing. Some of the cars are cool. I get it, okay? But us as consumers should not reward people that drop the ball and that kind of stuff. Mm. It's the same thing about, hey, man, let's say I'm going to go buy the new Shelby GT350 at a Ford dealer, and it's $60,000. And I get there, they're like, it's 90. There's a dealer markup. I feel like that's the same bullshit. Paying the dealer markup is the same thing by rewarding a guy like Elon Musk with high stock prices when he's not fulfilling his goals.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, why not just say, hey, man, we're going to deliver all the cars in December, and then November, like, hey, we're early.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's
like,
true.
Why do you got to be so, you know, like, why not under-promise and over-deliver instead of the opposite, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there's good reasons why you don't do that, but come on. There's got to be some sort of ramification.
No, I'm on board with that. I'll tell you the thing that I really do like Elon Musk for is, pre-Tesla in L.A., you didn't know if you were behind a Prius guy and he was a pompous douche,
yeah,
or just didn't like cars. If
right.
he fit into what, because that's, I mean, that's who drives Priuses.
Yeah, Kalen, what are you driving these days?
I have a Toyota Highlander.
Yeah. Ooh. Is it wrecked?
No, I did. Some guy did smash into the back of me on a motorcycle, caved in the back pretty hard, but he fixed that up real quick.
There was a time here where everybody here on this side, like over at the shop, and I'll let you finish, but over in the shop, all those guys, they're like, they all have like trucks and they're all like really shiny and
yeah.
clean. And over here, every one of these fucking cars in this studio is smashed. Like his car, I think Dylan's car, like.
Dylan's car is pretty banged up.
Yeah, we're like, just don't go park over there. Nobody parks over here anymore because these guys, everyone's afraid.
Maybe don't pound half a sixer before getting by the wind next time, you think?
Yeah. Now his mic is off. Now
his mic's up.
Yeah, no, see, now his mic is off.
Can't hear him.
Can't hear you, buddy. Can't hear you.
Oh, sorry. When I got hit, I was just sitting at a light. I wasn't doing anything. The light turned green, took my foot off the brake, and all of a sudden, just bam, right into the back.
When you got hit, did you drop your beer?
How many cycles of the light had you sat through?
You gotta take it out of reverse, Kalen.
Was the light green?
No, but so you used to have this dilemma where it'd be like, you know, you'd have DiCaprio who would drive a Prius. You know what I mean? And that guy shouldn't be driving a $40,000
car. Oh, and your fucking, your buddy, Bradley Cooper.
Fucking
Bradley Cooper.
now with the Tesla, it's like, okay, I know the pompous people, you know, that were driving the Prius, they've switched to Tesla. So for me, it makes it a little bit easier navigating town because I know if I'm behind a Tesla or if I'm around a Tesla, they're probably going to be going on their way as opposed to, you know, before you'd get confused with the Prius.
Well, he missed his mark. And,
but as you said, he's being rewarded. But it goes back to his showmanship. It goes back to the fact that the guy makes a statement every time he does it. I just looked at a study on Disney versus Netflix, and they compared overall value, you know, return on profits and all this, and then the very last one was their share price, and Disney's at like $90 a share. Netflix is like $225 a share.
Yeah.
And it's because what people are into. They buy what they're into. Mm-hmm. They're excited about Teslas. So they buy the stock. They're excited about Netflix, so they buy the stock.
Well, it's like it's the old adage, right? You're not buying the steak, you're buying the sizzle.
That's really what it is.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Elon Musk is the Vince McMahon of car selling, you know, like these days. I mean, he's got his hands in so many other things, but like, who was bigger in the day than, you know, and still to some extent, like Vince McMahon just hyping up WWE,
totally.
Took that company bought for $1 million from his old man and turned it into a billion-dollar public thing. Like, by the way, and did it on just working hard. Didn't do it with, like, the hype of a Silicon Valley dream team or something like that. You know, he wasn't, like, the PayPal of wrestling. Like, he just did it old school. And every other wrestling organization that came and went, like, he bought them up or whatever, put them out of business. Like, you know.
Have you guys touched on the show? What's the deal with Tesla and the dealerships, right? There's something going, like, in Texas, they couldn't get a license. Wasn't there something going on
because,
with that?
Yeah, because Tesla owns all of their dealers. They don't have franchise dealers or anything. And the Dealer Association of, I guess, America or something, they don't like this.
Mm.
They're like, we want to be able to sell Teslas. We want to be able to sell cars, your cars, and make money. And Elon Musk is like, no, my car company, my cars, I sell them, I make them, I do whatever I want.
Sure.
Fuck you. I don't need to do all this stuff. Like, I do whatever I want. And he's fighting to, you know, to get it, you know, to get that
good
done.
Well, and in some states, they've actually been able to pass legislation long before Tesla to where you have to have a franchise dealership if you want to sell those. You know, you can't do it like he does, where they don't have dealerships. So if you don't want to play by their rules, you don't sell in their state.
Hmm. Right. Now, I don't think there's any fair rule that says you can't register a Tesla in those areas where you can't buy it. Right. So you go out of state or you just mail order it.
Correct.
You just go online, you know, and you go to Tesla of Burbank and get a car and be like, hey, ship it to me.
Well, totally.
You know?
And most people that are buying Teslas are tech savvy enough to go on a website, buy it, and if it just showed up at your door like an Amazon package.
Right. But
you know,
between like True Car and what these car companies are doing, and we would be buying cars online way more if the dealers have sort of unified and came up with sort of standardization on how to make that happen, right? So there are companies that are trying to pop up to make that possible. But yeah, we're going to buy cars online.
Yeah.
And they're just going to show up at your house.
And it brings up a whole different
thing. Amazon's
going to
use a drone and drop cars.
Drone in it.
Yeah, exactly, a giant drone. But no, it brings up a whole different thing. Before Tesla, everybody said, well, I'm not buying that car until I test drive it.
Yeah. Everybody
Nobody
bought it.
Test drives it.
Everybody
buy
bought it.
Am I the only one that is not? I'm not a the interior on that car. I'm just not a big fan.
No, look, I'm with you. That so here's the thing with electric cars. So it's always been like even, you know, even ones that make a little more sense financially, Chevy Bolt, Chevy Volt, things like that. You know, to put that type of technology into the car, you and make it affordable, you have to cut somewhere. And they're cutting out a lot of materials and things like that on the inside of the car. And I think. Something came out recently, like the Fiat 500e, like the all-electric Fiat. Like, Fiat is somehow eating thousands of dollars per car, like $20,000 per car.
Really?
Just to get their foot in the door and also probably meet their cafe standards, you know? So they need to sort of balance that out. But they're taking a big hit, you know? You know, supercars have done that as well. You know, like everybody... sort of here's a story about the Lexus LFA. Like, that's a big money-losing car, but it was such a halo car for Lexus, it brought a young audience into Lexus. Like, people started looking at Lexus because it was getting the covers of Car and Driver and Road and Track and as a supercar, you know? Yeah. And it's an amazing car.
The original Ford GT, you know, it was a loser, but it was such a halo that brought all the... you know, the focus back on Ford. I mean, they do it from time to time.
It's like the convertible Evoque. You know, it's such a beautiful, great car for Range Rover.
Yes.
I saw one. I saw, like, one.
Did you?
Yeah.
Where?
I was like,
probably, like, Beverly Hills or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
I was just cruising and going down the road, and I saw it there.
That's like an 80. That's an expensive car for how ugly that thing is.
But, it's like, what were they thinking?
I know.
You know, so on the... I like what the Tesla represents, but I still think it needs to be a better car, and there's some alignment issues, some electronic issues, and some things like that. And on the way here, I saw the Model X, the SUV, and it was totally murdered out. Like, everything was black. Door handles, everything. Tinted windows, and it was black. And so what you got to see was just really the shape with no accents. And it's weird looking. Yeah. Like, it's a little funny looking.
I was hoping you were going to say that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little weird looking, and I was like, I get it's different, so I saw it, and I knew it was a Tesla, and I guess that's important, but...
But that'll eventually go away, I feel, because they're making a lot of cars.
So,
you know?
One that I do like is the Jaguar I-Pace. This is their all-electric SUV that's going to come out next summer, and Jaguar is making this push to get some sort of hybrid or electric drivetrain in all of their cars, right? They just announced a Range Rover Hybrid, right? Which I like that idea, okay?
Cool.
And all of their cars are going to have some sort of electric or hybrid variant on it. As part of their R&D, they've been actively participating in Formula E. They've been racing the all-electric Formula cars, which has been good. But the I-Pace... Caitlin's got a smirk on his face. He's making me nervous.
He's a big I-Pace fan.
just into it.
Yeah. Just sure you are. Yeah, sure you are. Screw you.
Did Caitlin take a bong rip?
He might have.
Not yet.
No, I've got to
wait till we're done. Yeah. Give us five more minutes, Caitlin. Jesus.
He's over there. Come on.
Yeah, he's like, I'm ready to get out of here. He's texting one of his girls. Yeah. That's what he's doing. He's blowing up his phone while he's in here. So the I-Pace, we went, Adam and I went to sort of the Hollywood debut of this thing, and I liked what it represent, and I like the strategy that they're doing with it. So this is an all-electric SUV. It's not out yet. It comes out next summer, and instead of going, hey, this is going to be the coolest luxury SUV out there, they said, no, we're going to do a racing spec series, and it's all I-Pace SUVs, and they're launching a series, and everybody in there just races an I-Pace, and already the SUV is 0-60 in 4 seconds in street trim with like a 300-mile range. And they're like, let's just do a racing series. It'll be awesome. We'll just gut them, make them light, and race them.
That's really cool.
And I like that marketing strategy.
Is it going to be off-road or on-road?
Well, it's mostly on-road. I'm sure they're going to build in some sort of all-wheel drive thing because of the electric motors and whatever. Now, if you want to get into hybrid or electric off-road, start taking a look at the Range Rover Hybrid, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but how many people off-road their Range Rover?
Or if you don't like going to the service department, maybe avoid the Range Rover altogether.
You have a Range Rover.
I do.
How's that working for you? What did you drive here today?
I drove a rental car.
A rental car.
From the
Range Rover dealer.
Maybe they're just big fans and they want to see you a lot. Okay?
I would hope that.
Yeah,
but
like, Tyson hasn't been here in a while. What can we do to his car?
No, the awful thing is it was there is no hyperbole. I was in the shop with it 2 weeks ago getting service done, and then it happened again. So, yeah. If you like going to the dealership, Range Rover is a car for you.
Yeah, they're so pretty.
They're beautiful. This is something I want to touch on with both you guys here because y'all are very intelligent when it comes to this. You're welcome for the compliment.
Cool, thank you.
Thank you, thank you. End of show.
Matt, and scene. Matt knows this, but we're looking at those, Brad, we're looking at those 718s for my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Love the new redesign. Think it looks incredible.
The 718 is the new Porsche Boxster and the Cayman.
Yes.
Right? And you're looking at a 718
convertible. 718
convertible.
And, but, you know, we go to the dealership, and as soon as we walk in the dealership, what does she walk over to? A 911.
She's like, this one's bigger and it's cute. Yeah,
exactly. So we went in for the 718. Now she likes the 911. I love the 911. I'm all on board with that. But here's my question, right? Do we go 718S or do you go base 911? Both of them would be convertibles, so it'd be the same. But what's the play there?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so...
Well, what are you looking for? Are you looking for resale? You looking for keeping it long-term, short-term?
Probably short-term. Yeah, probably more short-term.
So probably lease it, right? Yeah. Who's going to drive it?
Mainly her. Some me. I mean...
Yeah, that's a tough one. I might go 911.
Really?
Yeah. I think a base 911...
I might go what she likes.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much, Whitney's got to be happy. Or
that's
like,
true.
You're fine.
Exactly.
That's true.
You know, but... I think base 911, although, because you're talking convertibles, if you told me base 911 versus the hardtop versus the Cayman, I'd go Cayman S
really?
Or 918S, because that's such a great, well-balanced car
that
when she's out of town and we're like, let's go to Angeles Crest, we'll do that in that car. And the 911, you'd be like... Let's go grab tacos on Beverly and her 911. They're like, yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know. I knew you guys would have
an
opinion.
Yeah, I think the 911 all around because it's just going to put a smile on her face. When you get to drive it, it's going to put a smile on your face. And like Matt said, you can take it both places and be happy with it.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. And the 911's got a little tiny back seat for your dog, Teddy.
Little Teddy.
Teddy weighs, what, 3 pounds?
Yeah, Brad, we have a 3-pound Yorkie, so
I've eaten sandwiches bigger than that dog. She's the best. Teddy is the best. Awesome. She comes and sits on your shoulder like a parrot.
She does.
And she's great because his place is all wood floors, and when Teddy gets excited, she tries to run. Just goes in. She's not heavy enough to get traction. She runs in place. Like
no traction control.
Like, for like minutes. Yeah. She has no traction at all.
Okay, well, Matt knows the reason I drive over to Phoenix all the time to see my mom is because of my dog, and I want to take him with me. George goes with me. George is a schnoodle, so he's about 20 pounds, so he's too big to fly under the seat, and he's, you know. So we just jump in the truck, and talking about sliding, I had just had my truck detailed, the leather seats all treated, and they are a little slippery. George comes running. I open the door, and I always just go up, and he knows that that's jump. He jumps. Poor dog. He hit the seat, slid all the way across the face, boom, into the other door.
Oh, poor guy.
And he just looked at me, turned around and looked at me like, oh, that wasn't even funny, man. You know?
What did you do?
I know. Now I'm going to have calls from the... from the pet people. You know?
From the pet people. You're on board with that. All right. We're going to wrap things up because Kaylin's got a busy afternoon.
He's got a bong rip to do.
A bong rip and a date, I think.
I got to go pick up my dog. Okay.
Sure. You know. Yeah. Don't arm roll the seats first. Apparently, they'll do that. But you guys, thanks for listening. You know, reminder, we're going to be at the SEMA show, Shift and Steer Live in the MagnaFlow booth. We're going to be there every day, Tuesday through Friday, I believe 10 a.m. shows. Myself, Brad, and Aaron, and we're going to have a great a selection of guests that'll be coming out on the show.
Yeah, we got some great guests getting lined up.
Or not, or maybe just come out and see us. I mean, that's, you know, you don't have to do it for the guests. You could do it for us, you know. Actually, you should do it for the guests.
That's why they're coming.
Coming
to, they're coming to see us, man.
It'll be good. And then also just a little...
also, anybody that comes... I don't mean to interrupt you, but anybody that comes up to Brad or Matt at SEMA, he'll give you $5 out of his pocket.
Both
of them will.
Brad will be holding all of the cash.
There'll be IOUs from Tyson.
And so check us out on all of our social media at Shift Steer Media. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all at Shift Steer Media. And we appreciate good reviews on iTunes. You got to tell a friend. Tweet about it. Post a Facebook post. That's how the show's going to grow. Because, you know, without advertisers, we're poor. We're doing this shit for free.
That's right. That's why we're poor. That's why we have to give IOUs out.
That's why Brad had to drive to Phoenix instead of catch a plane. It took 12 hours. And a little cross-promotion, we just found out we're going to be doing CarCast live as well. CarCast, Adam and I will be in the Optima Batteries booth at SEMA Tuesday at 3:30. So come by. Optima will have some kind of special announcement. We'll do a CarCast show, and we'll sign some autographs, and then we'll get the hell out of there. So we got a lot of cool stuff going on.
And don't forget, those talking about cross-promotion, those of you that also listen to Man Seeks Adventure with Heather, myself, and Dave Merrick, you know what? We're going to be in that same booth over at MagnaFlow. One day only. It's going to be Wednesday, so make sure you check us out.
Yeah, and we'll, you know, as we lead up to this, we'll do all of our posts on social media. Make sure you guys got the times and schedule and stuff like that. So, Brad, thanks for calling in. And Tyson, thanks for swinging by.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And Kalen, thanks for whatever it is you do.
I can't see in there. It's too
don't
smoky.
Run your truck, Kalen.
Is he still in there?
Yeah, he hotboxed the sound room.
I'm not doing anything weird in here. There's a fire.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.